Have you got stone bench tops in your house? What if I told you they weren't stone at all? They're most likely to be sand, a bit of rock, and glue. That's pretty much what the modern bench top is all about. It's our dream, of course, to have the ultimate kitchen or bathroom with that stylish, sturdy, and shiny finish on the counter, and also on our vanity tops, of course. But have you ever thought about the people who work with and install the stone and their safety? We've been talking a bit over the last few days about silicosis. It's a preventable lung disease, but people who work in industries like stone cutting are at risk of developing it if they don't take safety precautions or if they work in unsuitable places. Yesterday, a Safe Work Symposium was held on the issue in Sydney, and Dr. Susan Miles was there. She's a respiratory physician at the Mater Calvary Hospital, and she's also on the Engineered Stone and Silicosis Task Force. She joins us now. G'day, Susan. How are you going?
I'm very well, thank you, Paul.
You sound like such an authority, we could probably get you around and get you to fit a bench top for us with all you know. Tell us about the stone itself. What are the products that go into making this manufactured stone?
Yes, well, it contains concrete, actually, that's been pigmented and formed into a mould along with resin. It has the benefits of being quite non-porous, and it's attractive and very strong and perhaps not so expensive as natural stone, but it doesn't have the nice imperfections, the nice colour variety of your natural stone bench tops.
Yeah, okay.
It was developed in the 80s and came to Australia in 2001. It's not manufactured in this country. It's manufactured mostly in Israel and some in China, but it's certainly cut and installed in this country.
So what do we know about the manufacturing process? Are the appropriate products, not that it's a great concern to us, we would just hope that the regulators in those countries are looking after their employees, but generally do we see that the factories have the appropriate mechanisms in place, or would we just be speculating on that?
I think we'd be speculating on that.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so local installers then. Through my progression from sort of my teenage years into adulthood, of course, and people in my position have been aware of the dangers of asbestos. This manufactured stone's arrived on the scene, and of course we know that all dust is bad for us, but have we paid enough attention and put enough precautions in place around manufactured stone when we're working with it?
No, not at all. And I think this is why this terrible epidemic has occurred. It's a public and occupational health disaster, really. Silicosis has been around since the time of the Egyptians, of course, the pyramid building. We were aware of it in the last 100 years, particularly in this country, but then it subsided to quite a degree in the 1960s when safety measures went into place, partly the levels that we allowed to be in the air in the workplaces and partly wearing masks and wetting down. And then this new product came onto the marketplace, and people initially weren't aware of the risks with it, and no safety precautions in installing it was sometimes taken. It sometimes is a difficult workforce to capture. The people that seem to be particularly at risk are contractors who may work for themselves. It's not a terribly well-regulated industry at one level, and it's not compulsory to do particular training at TAFE and things, particularly also not in safety, in order to install this on-site. So it's a risky business. We've seen a lot of cases in Queensland. That doesn't mean we don't have cases in New South Wales. We think there's been at least 20 detected, but I believe that's certainly the tip of the iceberg.
Yep.
I think there's reasons why we've seen more cases in Queensland than here.
I presume that we're talking about very minute particles. Are they difficult to filter out with, you know, apparatus that we use around building sites?
They are very small particles, and there are a number of safety precautions that can be taken to prevent inhaling them, because they get right down to the small spongy tissues in the lung called the alveoli, where oxygen gets into the bloodstream. But a lot of those safety precautions are not always being observed. They are in well-run, well-audited businesses, but not always elsewhere and not out in the field. The sorts of things that are recommended are wet cutting, so with your saws, water should be being sprayed over the saw to prevent the dust getting into the air. dust capture and collection devices on power tools.
So that's a vacuum, for example.
Well, not vacuuming the floor, because it, in a way that generates dust, using special equipment that doesn't generate dust, or mopping up with wet mops the dust so it doesn't aerosolize. Okay. Also, proper masks, which are fitted to Australian standards, proper ventilation.
So when you say proper masks, I'd presume that the paper ones are not effective. Is that right or not?
They're not as good as more complex masks, and there are occupational hygienists that can provide advice as to the best forms of masks that are required to be used in the field, and they need to be properly fit tested as well. A face that has a beard on it is less likely to get a good seal as one that doesn't.
Okay. So if the tradespeople installing these stone bench tops are at risk, I'd presume homeowners are as well. Maybe they're not alert to the dangers.
Well, once the engineered stone's been sealed, I don't think the risk is very high unless there's a lot of dust left behind in their house.
But if it's been cut in the yard, for argument's sake, you know, it's the sort of thing you just sort of wander past when tradespeople are working around the yard, and maybe you don't give it a second thought.
Yes, well, I guess in that setting, yes, they are at risk, and they're getting an exposure they're not aware of that's hazardous, because silica exposure is not just a risk factor for silicosis, but it is a risk factor for lung cancer as well, and that's an issue.
Okay. How does silicosis manifest? What happens?
Yes, so silicosis can manifest in a number of ways. It is a fibrotic scarring disease of the lungs that makes the lungs stiff and hard to expand, so patients get breathless and they cough and feel tired. However, you don't need to have symptoms to have silicosis, so if you've been exposed to silica, you should go and be checked and have an x-ray and a scan and a breathing test. As silicosis progresses, you may go on to need oxygen treatment and even a lung transplant, and it can be fatal, and unfortunately, once it's established, there's no cure. Not all silicosis is as aggressive as what we're seeing in the engineered stone form of silicosis, which is accelerated silicosis. There are milder forms, such as chronic simple silicosis, where you just get white spots on the lungs. Mm. We see that more in our miners and our tunnelers. But certainly it's always a concern and important to pick it up. The other symptoms, you can get complications of silicosis, like lung cancer, tuberculosis, chronic kidney disease, rheumatoid arthritis, scleroderma, and chronic obstructive lung diseases like emphysema and bronchitis. If you get complications like lung cancer and TB, you may cough some blood, you may get fever, chills and sweats, and lose weight. Those sort of symptoms should always be investigated.
This disease is getting less attractive the further this interview goes, Susan.
It is, I agree. Yes.
And just in regard to you know, the remedies, it's sounding like there's nothing you can do once you're diagnosed with silicosis.
Well, it's not a curable condition, but there's certainly a number of things you can do to protect yourself. One is protect yourself from future exposures. The next is protect your lungs from other injuries. So have a regular flu vaccine every autumn, and their flu vaccines are available now. Have a pneumonia vaccine, two vaccines in your life 5 years apart. Do a regular exercise and education class called pulmonary rehabilitation. Get fit. Don't smoke. And down the track, if you are developing low oxygen levels, having oxygen therapy at home, there is then the option of a lung transplant, but that's not something to be embarked on lightly, and that would be done in New South Wales down at St Vincent's. It carries with it its own risks, and it's sort of a last resort, but it can be life-prolonging. The other issues come down to compensation and monitoring as well. There are ways of being monitored. Obviously, if you have silicosis, you should be seen by a lung physician like myself or one of my colleagues, but there are ways of being assessed and monitored other than your GP, who's an important part of this picture, which includes the eye care, dust diseases care system, which is covered under workers' compensation. There have a bus which can be hired by work employees who can come to your workplace and screen your workers, and then they can follow up people who've been exposed to silica to see if they develop a dust-related lung disease subsequently, and that this can be a useful way of being followed.
Okay. There are things that can be done, and prevention is at the top of the list by the sounds of things. Dr. Miles, good to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity.
There's Dr. Susan Miles, a respiratory physician at the Mater Calvary Hospital, who's on the Engineered Stone and Silicosis Task Force, and that body is concerned about the rise in silicosis. Maybe it's something that's crossed your mind as well. Have you been exposed around the home, either cutting it yourself or having tradespeople in installing benchtops? Have you wondered whether or not that stuff's dangerous? Well, there you go. There's the message from a leader in the field.